gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. It's Monday after a spectacular weekend,
oh,
and I had a flawless trip there, so I am refreshed. We finally have our own toy plane here on Free Speech TV.
We're just like CNN.
We're just like CNN, only on a little bit of a budget, to tell Mama's trip to Madison story.
Is there a story?
What? No. Barely. We love you, Madison. Go Badgers. Did you see Madison was bat crazy Saturday night? The Badgers won. Right? Well, that was for me. That was for Sexy Liberal. Which was,
oh.
And John Nichols, who rocked the house with us.
Yep.
From The Nation magazine, will join us, when is it, hour number three today.
Yep.
He was hilarious on panel, and it was amazing. It was an amazing night. Did I mention it was an amazing trip? Let's see. Oh, first of all, let's see. We're getting pictures up as fast as we can. A lot of people sending pictures at Stephanie Miller Show Facebook and Sexy Liberal Facebook.
Yep.
Scott says, Steph, great show Saturday night. My wife Esther and I think it was one of the many three ways. It was a night in Madison, let me tell you. It was nice to meet you and the guys afterwards. So sorry about the cluster. With the missed flights. But we appreciate your dedication and, of course, your talent. By the way, here's a pic I took of you and Esther, two cuties. One of many, many hot cheese three-ways Saturday night in Madison, Wisconsin. We
did
love you.
Did the fondue thing
yes!
happen?
Yes! I'll get to that. There's a lot of stories before the hot lesbian fondue licking. For instance, can I have some breezy music? Have you ever gotten one of these? Well, because you know, Chris, I would never on my little radio and television. I would never mention the name of the airline.
No, not at all.
Except it sounds like Shh, Moon Knighted. And let me just also start by saying I would not their friendly skies with Ann Coulter's. All right. My point is, they send you a little thing. Subject line, tell us about your recent flight from Los Angeles.
Uh-oh.
From Shh, Moon Knighted Airlines. Oh, well, I'd be delighted to tell you about my recent...
You just held their logo up to the camera.
I'd be delighted to tell the story on the airline. Oh, I have some things to type later. Yeah, this was the final punchline. Please. Dear Stephanie, with every trip we... Thank you for choosing United. For your recent flight, with every trip we work hard to earn your business. More importantly, your satisfaction. Please take a moment. Oh, I'll take more than a moment. To let us know how we're doing. It's like one of those, you know, drivers that, how am I doing?
Right.
How am I driving? How's my driving? Call now. Really? Well, you drive like... okay, we recognize you have choices. Oh, I do now, when you travel. We thank you once again for flying United. Okay. All right, so Chris.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, Jim has a much shorter trip here from the Valley, and yet he's not here yet. But that's not important now.
At least you made it.
Yes. And someone bought me a delightful prop. I used this Saturday night on stage because I've watched a lot of CNN as well. We all have.
Sure.
During the ghost plane story. And I am now the Don Lemon
Actually,
of Free Speech TV.
I avoid CNN now because there's nothing new going on.
Right.
And it's just a lot of talking in circles.
Right.
On CNN now.
Right. And by the way, in case you've just tuned in, the latest wreckage they found, it was just fishing stuff. Who knows what that even is? You'd have
right.
to call Ed Schultz to find
right.
out. I don't know.
As someone said this weekend, what they're looking for is yellow stuff. Because that's the color of the evacuation slides, and that's the color of the life preservers. Those things would float to the surface, so
right.
that's what they're looking for.
Okay. Okay, well, it's not that. Anyway.
No.
All right, so you know how I normally get up at... All right, we go to bed at...
Stupid o'clock.
Right, get up at...
Insane o'clock.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so let's see. Though this was like ass crack o'clock. I had to get up to get to Madison in time because there's a connection. It's not easy to get to, yada, yada.
Madison's not the biggest airport in the world, so there are connections.
No, it is a teeny tiny little airport. It's adorable. However, I didn't really actually even see it on the way in. That's not important now. It's not important that I didn't actually land in the city I was going to. What? How is that relevant to this story? So I get up at, what, I don't know, three, four, who can remember?
Right.
Yeah, cab comes, I don't, something. No, came at four. Car came at four, my flight was at 6 a.m.
That should be enough time.
Right. Mama caught the plane from here, but it was going to Denver, City by the Bay.
City by the Bay.
Right. Cleared the bay.
Good morning, Denver.
Did you
say good morning, Denver?
I did. I said, good morning, Denver.
We love you, Denver. That's City by the Bay.
That's when everything was still going well. Here's Mama. Here's Mama on the plane.
Going over the Rockies.
Right.
Yeah.
To Denver.
Okay.
Because that's where... However, we were slightly delayed in L.A. Why, Chris? You ask why?
Why?
Because we were waiting for connecting passengers and their luggage. But that's okay, because I'm liberal. I'm a helper. I'm like, that's fine. We will wait for the passengers.
Connecting from where?
I don't know. Who knows? It didn't matter. Because, you know why?
Los Angeles is not a big connecting.
We're liberals and we're helpers. We're like, well, that's okay. We can wait. Waiting for. They're like, don't worry. Nobody worry. They will wait for you for your connecting flights. They know that we're going to be a few minutes delayed coming into Denver. Nobody worry. Ooh, look how pretty the Rockies are. Ooh.
Ooh, look at all the snow.
Look at ooh. So we land, and I'm actually sitting next to a flight attendant who's flying, just, you know, she's a, whatever they call that, deadhead, something, whatever they call that thing in that Leonardo DiCaprio movie, whatever, she's, you know.
The bulkhead.
Right.
The deadhead?
That's what they called it in the Leonardo DiCaprio film, whatever.
All right.
It's an airline employee that's flying on the, their airline.
Oh, I see,
somewhere.
Got it. Okay,
right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I was in the emergency room, which, by the way, I'm the last person you should ask. Will you be capable of? The answer is no.
Computer says no.
I'll be drunk. What am I, a Navy SEAL? I'm not going to know what the hell to do.
But of course, you said yes, because if you would have said no, they would have had to move you. That would delay the flight.
Because I was sitting with more leg room next to a flight attendant, so I was like, yes, I would be delighted to help. So, and she was like, yeah, don't worry, don't, you know, they know you're gonna, they'll hold your flight, they know that, you know, we're gonna be a few minutes late, because we waited, because you see how it is, you know what it is, you paid forward, Chris, it's the magical circle of helping, because we waited, they're like, oh, of course they will wait for you, like, really, because I only have a 40-minute, you know, layover in Denver, and she's like, oh, no, they'll call ahead, they'll call the gate, they'll know. I was like, oh, I feel much better, because Mama has to get to Madison, this show's been sold out for a month. So, I think you can see where this is going. So, yes.
This cannot end well.
No, it did not.
No.
It did not. So, despite the fact that, yes, we landed a few minutes late, she was like, don't worry, call the gate, go ahead. The other flight attendant said that too, don't worry.
Sure.
Here's your gate. Okay, so have you been to Denver Airport?
It's long.
Denver Airport is roughly, I believe it's 2,117 miles long.
It's very long.
It's like the size of Chris Christie's ass.
Yep.
Right. So, it's a long, and of course, was the gate nearby, Chris?
Absolutely not.
The other, and this whole thing, and so, this is the first segment of, I'm like landed, and they're like, run. So, yes. So, Mama, yes, please, cue the music. Here's Mama. Okay, here's Mama's new plane. Mama's new plane's there.
Mama's way over here.
Okay, well, I only have, listen, the camera doesn't move that much. I'm just, here's Mama. Running, sweating. Sweating, old.
Brittle hips.
Right. It's 52. Toting a carry-on, running at top speed. Running. And not just terminal, people mover, escalator, shuttle. Mama running. Here's Mama's flight to Madison. And then what happens? Shunk. Yeah, door closed. Shunk. Right. Yeah, you can cut the music.
Oh,
yeah.
Because you stopped running.
Right.
Shunk.
That's the... For purposes of the story, that will be the door that goes to the... Right. And so I was like, what? And I got there 10 minutes before the flight left. I was like, what the...
You were like, what the Christ?
Suck, mother... What? No! Sold out Madison show? What? You said to hold the flight because we... What? No.
And they didn't hold the flight.
Sweating, crying, menopause, puberty. What? Benghazi. I don't know why I said that. I was just really. They're like, and they gave my reserve seat to someone who didn't get it. And I was like, what? So, I'm not even trying. I can't even remember now exactly what happened. Oh, I know. Oh, so running back now to Schmoo-nited customer service. Here's just some plane somewhere. This is now a fictional plane that might take Mama to Madison.
Right. I doubt it, because it's a
standing
two-story plane.
Standing in line at Schmoo-nited customer service. This is on stage, by the way, Saturday night. This was like Stonehenge from Spinal Tap. This is the plane is this big. We couldn't find it. It was short notice for the story. I couldn't find a bigger plane. Okay, so, standing in line, sweating, crying, menopause.
So you're not running anymore, okay.
No. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry. We didn't rehearse this.
No, we did
just,
not, obviously.
I'm on the fly.
Yeah.
Right. So, and and then in the meantime, high-strung, sexy liberal tour director Roland,
right,
who's already high-strung,
yeah,
when I told him I missed the flight.
You're f-
right.
It, he fired you?
No, no. No. Sorry, I hit the wrong one.
Yeah.
I maybe. Who knows?
Let's see if you're in Chicago.
Can I get fired from Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour? I don't think so. So, yeah, no, he screamed like Marcus Bachman when he saw his first huge corn dog in Iowa. Just, wah, yeah. And so then we had a fleet of people, friends, people looking for flights online. He's checking, because I'm in line.
Right.
Right, schmoo.
Knighted.
Right, customer service. So anyway, I finally get to the thing. I get to after, I don't know, several ice ages pass,
right.
Pages on the calendar, seasons change.
Yeah.
I get to the
beards
thing.
Grow long.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't have my no-no hair removed.
Right.
So. I grew a beard in the airport. Hourglass turned over
right.
Several times. And it's all the people in front of you screaming the exact same that you're about to scream. I sort of got the people on the same flight. They're like, what the? You held the plane because you told us you would. What the? Oh.
I don't think there's enough money in the world for me to take a job as an airline customer service person.
Copy that. Copy
yes.
that. Yes.
Right. No. Because that's what your entire job is.
I know. I really try not to do that. I really try not to. Like, I know this is not your fault. Okay. So, anyway. Okay. So what? Oh, so what was the upshot, Chris?
What was the upshot?
Can I have some helpful music? The helpful schmoo.
Okay.
United person. Said that, there's a 2 o'clock to Madison, but stand by. Doesn't look good. And
okay.
Also, there's a, I don't know, 11:15 to Chicago and a 1:15, stand by. We cannot get
anything
you
to Milwaukee?
Guaranteed. No, no.
Okay.
No, of course not. Of course not. They cannot get me anywhere within spitting distance of Madison on Saturday. Sunday, they'd be very helpful. Sunday, after the sold-out show! But not Saturday. So, let's see. What was happening in the meantime there? I can't remember which part of the story. Oh, okay. So, wait a minute. Let me think. Go back. Oh, Roland had found a Frontier Airlines flight.
Okay.
But was it anywhere near there? So he went ahead and bought it online.
Okay, right.
As soon as I was at the thing, okay, we can't get on United.
Schmuntier Airlines.
Right. Do you think it was anywhere near in that terminal?
Oh, God, no.
Computer says no.
It was probably still at Stapleton.
So, here's the new Frontier plane that presumably would take Mama. This one was to Chicago somewhere. I don't know. Running, back, airport, people mover, escalator, shuttle, running, Mama running, brittle hips.
Yep.
Very, very old. Very hairy now.
Beard flowing.
Beard flowing in the airlock dynasty.
Right.
Running through the airport again, like OJ before he started killing people, but just running, running.
Right.
Yes. And then what happens? Shunk. The door closed.
To Frontier Airlines?
They told Roland on the phone, no, we'll hold it. You buy the flight, buy it right now. Tell her to run. It was before the flight time took off. Shunk. Sorry. Already bought the ticket. Told us we'd hold the plane. Yeah. See, now how long the story is getting?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to finish it after. This is only the beginning of the story. This is the second. Shunk. Okay.
And we'll have Jim for the next part of this.
Right, and then I had to blood dope. I'll blood dope during the thing before I have to start running again. 19 minutes after the hour.
Oh, my God.
The rest of the story.
Hey,
Stu. When we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Can I say that so far the reviews are in. My plane story is much more entertaining than Don Lemon's on CNN. And I know, isn't it Stonehenge, Jim? It's this big. This is on stage.
Stonehenge.
Yes.
Hundreds of years before the dawn of history.
Right. So Jim heard most of the story out there.
Yeah. Right.
In the
yes.
lobby.
Right. So, all right. So let's review. So I've already had two runs across the entire Denver airport at
right.
top speed. Shunk, door closed. Even though, like, the airline said they will hold the flight twice. to get to Madison.
No wonder you're so skinny.
I'm in Denver, right?
You did a lot of calisthenics
awesome.
Over the weekend.
People were like handing me bottles of water. I'm running. I'm blood doping. I'm like, yeah. So
you could have run to Chicago. I mean, Madison before.
No, it really was a comedy. It was like every flight was two terminals over. Like, of course, it's not anywhere near here. So where was I? Oh, so Shunk, just the Frontier airline that we just bought that ticket, and they said they'd hold us after the original Schmoonited flight said they'd hold it, and then Shunk. Okay, so then what happens? Oh, then I run, of course, back, presumably just somewhere to some. This is now a fictional plane that might take me to Madison. Back to Schmoonited customer service.
Is this the 2 o'clock flight to Madison?
No. Oh, Roland had said no. You're on the standby 11:15 to Chicago. Schmoonited.
Okay.
Run.
All right.
I'm like the Forrest Gump of Denver Airport now. People are like, oh, really? Run, Steffi, run! My braces falling off my legs. Run. Mama running. Here's.
Someone hands you a Have a Nice Day t-shirt.
Right.
Splattered in mud.
Right. 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 Box of chocolate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. And then the hippie dies of AIDS.
So I get to this standby. What? I get to the standby 11:15 Chicago, Schmoonited flight. Shunk. No, they just shut the door.
Oh.
Shunk.
Oh, sorry.
Shunk. This is now the third
Shunk.
Door. No. Sorry.
I'm you sorry. You're on back tier airlines, not Frontier. You got the wrong one.
Lower tier airlines.
So then I go back. That's when I go back to Schmoonited customer service. I'm now on the 2 o'clock standby. Doesn't look good. On
right.
the 1-something standby to Chicago. That doesn't really look good. So in the meantime, another friend of mine finds an American flight. American. There's an American flight. And Roland's were all on this text chain. I'm like, get it. Because, right. So then... Right, he's like, okay, I've got it, except guess what? You have to pay. There's only a first-class seat, and you have to pay with your credit card at the gate. Because it's
$1 million.
Exactly. It's like a hostage crisis at the airport when you need to get somewhere, right?
You're sure.
It's going to cost you.
Right.
How badly you want
to
get
there? They thought they were being very helpful, Jim, in offering to get me there the day after the sold-out show.
Yes.
And we'd be happy to get you there
Sunday
morning.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Oh, thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Do you have a time machine on you?
Oh, no, after you. Oh, how about a week from now? How's that? Is that good for you?
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
All right. So, so we purchased the, not purchased, but hold the, the reservation. And then what? I get the text from Roland. Run.
Okay.
So... Here's the new plane. Now this American plane. This is an American plane. Mama running. Two terminals over again. Running. People mover, escalator, shuttle. Right? Same thing. Sweating, crying. Whatever. All right, we already have that description. Okay. So the good news is no Shunk. I actually got there on time, bought the ticket. And that, by the way, American. Thank you, American. They were lovely at American.
Aww.
Although I guess they are once you've just paid a ransom
million
for a first class seat at the last minute. And your own credit card. Anyway.
At least you get your Chateaubriand on the plane.
There you go.
There was no Chateaubriand.
No?
And then you know how
cold
I normally
cuts.
Fly?
Yeah.
You know how I normally fly Screaming Baby Airlines?
Yes.
So I never fly first class.
Screaming
so
first class baby airlines.
No, I'm in first class and there's kids there. Don't you hate it when there's kids in first class? You feel like going, you little bastards.
You feel like you're paying for the privilege.
Because you know what? Because life sucks. So enjoy it now.
Yeah, we go to private school.
Yeah, those are the kids.
I was having a hard day, and I did not need toddlers in first class. I was like, you entitled little bastards. Do you know what I just went through to get? I got to go off my 53-year-old ass.
Stewardess, there's a crazy lady in our section.
All right, so...
Can you move her back to steerage?
Oh, my God. Shouldn't you be back there with Irish music and Leonardo DiCaprio or something? Ah, they let such rubbish in first class now. I said it's toddlers like this. Yeah. All right.
Is she wearing sweats?
Oh,
my God.
Lululemon. It was so last year. Ever.
Well, especially
Uggs. Oh, my God. Who wears Uggs?
Well, I keep saying that to you.
Well, it's a little different when you have a four-year-old in first class to you after you've spent... 75 years getting to Madison. Anyway, there's more. I'll tell the rest of it and then Rude Pundit. Next on the Steffi Miller Show.
Steffi Miller.
Arise and be beautiful.
Here I am. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. All right, I can't believe this. This is the longest story ever, hasn't it?
Kind of, a little bit.
Right, but Madison's like family.
But it seems like
Madison's
it's the longest
like family.
Trip
I'm
ever.
Like, look, when this happens and your relatives, you have to listen to me bitch about my trip. Half an hour, and then we'll move on. Then we got to the jokes and the flavin and the hot cheese and the politics and the whatever.
Was there fondue poured on your stuff?
Yes, yes. We'll get to all that. There are still planes involved. All right, so, oh, by the way, did I mention, so the American flight I finally got on after three shunks and three runs across the entire Denver airport.
Yep.
And the flight, the door closed right before I got there. The American flight, I told you I had to buy first class with my own money.
Yep.
My seat left. Oh, I was only going to Chicago. I actually could not get to Madison. You know that you can't get there from here?
Sure.
I actually could not get there on Saturday. So this is a flight to Chicago. I did get there in time. I did get the ticket. And then we're boarding, and I'm here I am. Here goes Mama. I just by habit I'm running, even though I don't need to. I'm just boarding the flight. Here's Mama coming to her plane. Okay. They're like, oh, we have to stop boarding for a minute. I was like, why? A guy had a heart attack, they think, in the jetway. And there's a guy, like, slumped. But he looks fine. He's like, he's still standing. And they're like, there's something has happened. We need to. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, my.
He's probably running to make the flight to Madison.
And at this point, exactly.
You could have had that heart attack.
I became Mortimer and Duke from Trading Places. I was like, turn that machine back on. He's having a heart attack. Him, that's my money in Madison. I just step right out. No, he was fine, and then we get in the air. But then we're delayed on the runway. Delayed. Here's Mama on the plane, on the runway.
Right.
It's Chicago.
The motor's running. You're idling.
And, you know, Jim, it's one of those vaguely murky pilot announcements. You're not really sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are having some electrical problems with the electrical systems, and the AUC will start delayed. That's our...
on speaker not.
At this point, I'm on a text with Roland and with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Were you texting when the doors were closed?
Yes. Well, we were, as I said, on the runway. We're not ready to take off
that's
yet.
That's not allowed.
There was a delay because of the aforementioned
technical problems. Something. Don't worry about over.
So I'm texting and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up in the Indian Ocean. And the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, he goes, thank God, finally peace and the life insurance money. And I just texted my last text ever before they found me. Well, they would never find me, but yeah, I said, you, Ron, go yourself. And then I was like, sender recalls texts in case I survive and need a job. So that was... And then I got there, and then they had to send a car to drive me from Chicago to Madison. Oh, and I did have to stop and pee along the side of the road because I was like, I can't wait. This has been a very long day. So I there you go. So I marked my territory somewhere between Chicago
somewhere
and Madison.
Somewhere on the Kennedy.
Somewhere. And so I got there. The show started at 8. I got there, I don't know, 8 something.
And so you weren't late for your set?
No, because okay. I'm not. I'm the lead. I'm not on first.
Right.
Oh, yes. No, I got there after showtime.
Okay.
Put in time for my set.
Good.
All right. And scene. All right. And by the way, this still as exhausted as I am, this made me laugh harder than any rude pundit I have read thus far, which is saying a lot.
Sleep up at the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, rudeness.
Good morning. Welcome back from Madison.
Thank you. At least there were hot cheese and hot lesbians at the end of the day, so it all ended well.
You know, really, what else could you ask for?
Exactly.
Cheesy lesbians.
I'm sure there are a few of those, too.
Rudeness, I had the same reaction you did to Chris Christie's investigation of Chris Christie, which proved that Chris Christie was not involved at all in anything that happened regarding the Chris Christie
case closed.
Right. I had, I investigated my browser history and discovered that I didn't look up all that midget porn. I'm sorry, people porn.
Yeah. I was shocked by the rudeness, but I've heard a lot of other women say this as well. You say your post is entitled "Christie Internal Review Report: Bitches Be Crazy."
That's this it. I was also going to go with Chris Christie doesn't have 99 problems, but the bitches are one.
I mean, this, even, I think Eric Bollard tweeted, you know, who we talked to next hour, that even Fox News called this slut-shaming. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you, as you say, reading the report on the internal investigation, quote-unquote, of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, conducted by lawyers hired by, quote-unquote, the governor's office, but not representing the governor, which means, oh, their fee could helpfully be paid by the taxpayers in New Jersey. The inescapable conclusion is, when it comes to the GWB traffic and Sandy funds for Hoboken scandals, poor innocent Chris Christie is a victim of all these crazy bitches trying to... his up. It's, the bitches set him up, right?
That's it. That's it. You know, because bitches be crazy,
right?
You know, you got the crazy spurned bitch who. The Bridget Ann Kelly.
But can I say, you went right to the heart of the matter as only you can. It's the first reaction I had, too. It's not just that this was horrible and slut-shaming and gratuitous and unnecessary. It made no logical sense.
Right.
What connection was there to one to the other? You say, in other words, Bridget Kelly was so mad and hurt by the breakup with her that she decided to take out her righteous anger at men and her obvious sexual frustration by saying to Wildstein, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. I mean, exactly. You go, really? Because she was mad over breakup, so she decided to what?
A woman scorned will cause traffic problems.
Right. I mean, that's the thing that I think that a lot of, especially Democrats, are upset about in New Jersey right now, is essentially the state paid for $1 million defense document.
Right.
Because all
it doesn't interview any of the key characters.
Right. And the whole thing was set up to try to spin the story so that whenever people see Bridget Ann Kelly, now they think, oh, she's Glenn Close from Fatal Attraction or whatever. You know, this was her rabbit in boiling on the stove.
She will not be ignored.
All right, listen, safe search off, everybody. Let me get my bleep button ready because this is maybe the funniest paragraph that Rude Pundit has ever written. holy, maybe the whole thing was a misunderstanding. What if that was actually code for Wildstein to her? What if she called her, see, Fort Lee? And traffic problems meant getting her congested with Wildstein's... and maybe Wildstein, not used to a booty call, just got it completely wrong, and instead of getting his off on Kelly, caused a 4-day traffic snarl on an entrance to the busiest bridge in the country? Oh, it all makes sense now, of course. Christie couldn't know anything about it except when Wildstein told him, but oops, it slipped his mind. I mean, that goes to the general ridiculousness of...
I just like the idea of David Wildstein sitting there and getting a text that says, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. And totally thinking, yep, got it. I am going to snarl traffic. And there's, you know, Bridget Kelly, you know, staring lonely.
The train,
at her
not what I meant.
Trains, tunnel. I think you know what we're talking about. Port Authority.
That's right.
You get my general idea.
You know, the whole Bridget Bridge thing.
Right? Like, that's a coincidence.
Yep.
You say, as for Hoboken Mayor Don Zimmer's allegation, the Christie administration said her town could go for Sandy recovery funds if she didn't approve a development deal. Man, that bitch is totally crazy. They write, the subjective perceptions she may have do not match objective reality, blah, blah, blah. And you say bitches and their bitch-eyed perceptions, right?
Yeah. I mean, how could she, when her eyes so clouded with her obvious bitchiness, how could she have truly understood what was being said?
And you say the lieutenant governor in the report recalled having to be firm with Mayor Zimmer, being frustrated about Mayor Zimmer's single-minded focus on Hoboken. That's weird for a mayor of Hoboken.
Yeah,
as you
I know.
Say,
right? Why would a mayor be just concerned about her town and not the entire state?
Right, that's what the report says. And you say, see, you put a crazy bitch in charge of a city and she gets all up in your about her town's needs. Man, give the bitch.
I don't think you can read
I
that.
I can't
sentence.
Read the rest
no,
of that.
No, 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 no.
Go to
rudepundit.blogspot.com to read the unadulterated...
Oh, it's hilarious. We cannot blame Chris Christie for all the way that crazy bitches act crazy. And while the report doesn't offer any reason why Kelly would have ordered the bridge closure or why Zimmer would have made the allegations against the Christie administration, the answer is obvious. Chicks, you know. Because the alternative is that Christie is a lying sack of... Exactly. Who are you going to trust, an upstanding, calm, reasonable, bipartisan individual like Chris Christie or someone with a vagina?
And I do love...
Listen, you need to quit now because that is your best work ever, I must say.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
yes, you're done.
Vacation, please. I don't want to hear about this friggin' plane anymore. Are they actually? Are they cleaning up the ocean while as they're doing
seems
this?
Seems like it.
Yeah, right. Because oh my
god, finding all kinds of debris.
Right.
Yeah,
given
I
was finding garbage. Or they, I mean, you know, may as well do this if we're not going to do anything about climate change.
Oh, I know. Jim and I were talking about this sad piece about the guy that, you know, sails the world's oceans a lot, and he said that the ocean's sick. There's just you don't even know how much garbage and crap there is out there.
And,
I know.
Fukushima garbage is heading our way.
Oh, awesome.
Across
awesome.
The Pacific.
Let's hope the earthquake hits first.
Yes, and this is not to mention the, you know, the Pacific plastic island
that's
around out there.
Yeah.
By the way, you also have an equally rude and exactly what I've been, like, pounding on this point about the Hobby Lobby case, that it just, it is so frustrating, and I'm like, what, how did this even, how can something so not science-based even get to the Supreme Court? As you say, Hobby Lobby, you can buy all kinds of crosses, which I didn't realize. You said there's the Blessed Girls cross that looks like Hello Kitty could be crucified on it. There's a cross with crosses on it to show that you love Christ more than anyone else. There's
the thing I love about, I have to say, the thing I love about the Blessed Girls cross is it's got all this girly graffiti all over it,
right.
Including, and I swear to you, it's at the top of it, it says giggle. Where it should say Inri.
Wow. It says giggle?
It says giggle.
On a torture implement?
Yep, right where the crown of thorns would be.
Oh, boy.
It says giggle.
Oh, right. There are more than 150.
Is it written in those letters with the dots on the end of it, you know?
I think the eye has a heart dotting it.
Oh, no!
As you say, there are more than 100. I did not know there's 150 different kinds of crosses you can buy at Hobby Lobby. Why do they have so many crosses? Because the founder of Hobby Lobby, David Green, loves Jesus. He loves Jesus so much, he thinks he's betraying the words of Jesus if he provides health insurance to employees that allows them to get four methods of birth control that, despite all science to the opposite, he believes causes abortions. So you say this is the, David Green thinks the morning after pill does something it does not. So the case is just about what his particular invisible sky wizard wants. It's about how he doesn't care what the facts are.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's the thing is everything about this case is, and even in the way the Supreme Court was talking about it is, well, he believes this causes it, and so whether or not it does, it's just, you know, well, his religious beliefs tell him to look in the face of facts and just discard them.
And by the way, he makes your favorite point, Chris, which is just final layer of hypocrisy on top of this, that these crosses are made in China.
Yep.
As you say, right, one of the things the Chinese government, especially on the local and provincial levels, uses its funds for is to propagate and enforce a one-child policy. Enforcement of this policy leads to forced abortions, sterilization, infanticide. This is actually what actually happens. These abortions are real, not what anyone believes, like the supposed abortions caused by the morning after pill. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really...
Yeah, so when you buy a cross at Hobby Lobby, you are helping to pay for abortions in China.
That's right.
This is the way that the right thinks about money, you know? That even if you pay for a plan that frees up money that somebody can use maybe for abortion, then you are paying for abortion. That indirect method of it is something that they condemn. Here, the tariffs and things they're paying on what they import from China goes directly to the government, which goes directly to abortion.
Yeah. I mean, it is just, the whole thing is, it's stunning, stunning. Rudeness, you might as well play vacation for him now, because that's it. You are, you're never going to top today's work.
Oh, you know what? I'll work on it. I'll never.
You could be ruder.
I'll give it a shot.
Goodbye. Have a good lifelong vacation. You can go now. Your work is done here.
Bye.
Bye. Just kidding. Okay, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52. Sorry, a little pedal sound on my. Sorry. 52 minutes after the hour.
You're supposed to swallow before you.
Steph 1-2.
start talking.
How many times have you told me to swallow? Almost as many as Jim.
Yep.
Okay, but you did do some producer duties during the thing. You got me a picture of the Hello Kitty cross that one can purchase at a Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
And Rude Pundit is right. There is giggle. It says giggle at the top of the cross and down where Jesus' feet would be, Jim. It is. It says cutie patootie.
Yeah.
Great.
So you could buy that. And some of that money will go to China where they have forced abortions.
Fantastic.
But the good news is the female employees of Hobby Lobby will not be able to get drugs that don't cause abortion at all. They actually prevent abortion because they prevent fertilization.
Mm-hmm. But as Tina Dupuy pointed out last week, they don't see this as hypocrisy.
They can't spell hypocrisy.
Remember her article? The righteous doesn't see what they do as hypocrisy at all.
Right.
Because they can be forgiven.
Yes. They are that and irony deficient.
Well, Hitler was Catholic, so I guess he's forgiven. Oh, you're a Catholic,
John
girl.
John had a hilarious line Saturday night in Madison about Hitler analogies. I can't remember what it was now. I have to ask him.
We'll ask him on Friday.
It was hilarious when we were on panel. by the way, John Nichols was amazing on panel. And by the way, we posted an article. He wrote a great piece that I had not seen entitled Dale Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and the Forgotten GOP Support for Voting Rights. And he very kindly mentions my dad and how important he was in getting the voting rights bill passed. And this voter suppression going on in Wisconsin and elsewhere, it is so egregious.
It would drive your dad nuts.
Yes, Dale Schultz is a Republican who stood up and said, this is wrong. This is wrong. We ought to not be, you know, if we're a party that believes in our political beliefs, we should not be trying to stop people from voting, and good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we will talk to John about that. And just the general awesomeness of Madison Saturday night. By the way, Audra and Kate are the awesome with the awesome sauce. They cannot wait to see Jim and Chris in Chicago next month because they, can I just say, are hilarious and hot.
Hopefully we don't have any more plain shenanigans.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's a straight shot there, and it's...
Someone tweeted, said, you probably should be leaving for Chicago about now.
Yeah.
Go now. Yeah.
Pack up the covered wagon, and we'll...
Go now. Let's get on the... We'll
just bring some food so we don't become the Donner Party.
And show from the plane for the next month. Audra and Kate's at staff. Hope your trip home was better. Yes. Well, it could hardly be worse, could it? We really enjoyed the relaxed meet and greet this time. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
It was fun. Wow. It was. And by the way, I was so exhausted, but so happy to be in Madison. I was like the last person to leave the meet and greet. They were like, okay, you need to get out now. No one else wants to meet you. Just get out. Yeah.
Fun! Wow.
The janitors are ready to go home.
They had to push me out of this. Yeah. Thank you. I can't stop smiling. I met so many sweet people. On our way back to the hotel, Kate lost her pants somewhere. This is not the first time.
Oh, really?
Here are some pics from last night. And we posted those up on Stephanie Miller's
show. Everybody has their pants on in the pictures.
That was obviously before the pants incident. And let me just say, Kate is hot and looks like someone that might lose her pants every now and then.
Oh, really?
Audra's hot, too.
They are both hot. They're hot and they're talented.
I might turn for Audra.
You think?
I might.
No.
She's a hottie.
No. all right. Tim in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Long time listener. Love you guys.
You guys
are awesome.
Thank you.
Not everybody in Oklahoma is a conservative Nimrod like Dave Green and his whole Holy Roller Crusade.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know that some of us do support more liberal thinking, and this guy is a moron. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You know who supported liberal thinking? Jesus.
Thank you.
Hitler.
I thought you were
going to
go.
No.
You can never know where. Jim is like, Jim only works in extremes. It's either Hitler or Jesus.
Right.
There's no like in between. Those are the only two answers. Do you know who else?
Well, Hitler wanted to be a priest originally.
No, there's that.
Well, there you go.
That didn't work out quite the way he expected.
No.
All right. Yeah, a lot of people are ready to consciously uncouple from their Republican governors, like Scott Wanker in a. Madison.
We won't stand
no.
with Governor Wanker.
Oh, my God. John Nichols has some hilarious stories of Scott Wanker at the Sheldon Adelson
Sheldon
thing in Las Vegas.
Lane.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Like, he I didn't even want to get started.
We'll ask him about it in hour three.
There's a lot of holes in the desert. Some of them got baddies in them.
Right. All right. But speaking of conscious uncoupling, why, Gwyneth Paltrow, it's a Rocky Mountain Mike in Marion Ann Arbor thing.
Gwyneth Paltrow, why don't you come to your
senses. You've been just a tad pretentious for so long now. You may be famous, but you ain't got that many troubles. You better consciously uncouple.
Aww. Rocky Mountain Mike, Marion Ann Arbor, awesome. Eric Bollert, speaking of awesome, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Check out all the sexy liberal Madison pictures. And yes, Jim and Chris and I are leaving now for the April 26th Chicago show at the Chicago Theater.
You have to.
So we'd appreciate it if you buy a ticket, since it's going to take us a month to get there. So.
All right. Start walking.
Okay. And we finally have a toy plane story. I could be Mrs. Don Lemon. Okay. By the way,
that's a 747, not a 777.
Yeah.
Right. John Nichols will be on with us next hour, who wrote the fabulous piece, Dale Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and the Forgotten GOP Support for Voting Rights. Why do I mention it? Because my name's in the title.
Of course.
More importantly, though, Jim, who said the long, long, long lines for voting are not an accident? They're on purpose, and your country needs you to overcome with the simple, unexpectedly heroic act of voting. Who said that?
Bill Miller.
No, that was a good guess.
He would if he were
still. Very, very close. Yeah. Rachel Maddow.
Oh, okay.
All right. Look who's here. Speaking of awesome, Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Good morning, Eric Bollert. Good morning, Eric Bollert.
Good morning.
Hello. So I loved your tweets as usual. Washington Post, Jeb Bush has credibility within the Hispanic community. Poll, Jeb trails Hillary by 50-plus points among Latinos. They are
Yikes.
Desperate for a storyline where there is some competition already for 2016.
Pero
right?
Hablo español. Que no?
Sometimes it's hard to see who's more desperate, the Republican Party or this media machine that's already been built up to cover the 2016 campaign. And so, yeah, Washington Post did this long piece about, you know, how all these influential establishment people are, you know, supposedly backing Jeb Bush, who hasn't run a campaign in 12 years, and in the general matchup polls trails Hillary by about 12 or 14 points. But, you know, they do their best. They try to whip it up rather than saying, you know, GOP is desperate. They're going to try this sort of, you know, also ran. You know, they dress it up as, oh, he's got influence
right.
within the Hispanic community, and he doesn't. Zero.
And as you said,
pero tengo un hijo moreno.
He sort of flip-flopped on that issue, and he's all over the map.
Yeah, I love that he also said, perfect, Jeb Bush is sticking close to the GOP strategist who ran the dreadful McCain and Romney campaigns.
Right.
Hashtag good luck. Yeah.
But again, you know, these are still considered serious people by the D.C. press, you know, consultants who ran the Romney campaign, the McCain campaign. You know, when Democrats get trounced in presidential campaigns, you know, the people who run those campaigns are not usually held up as successful, influential people. But Republicans, you know, you can lose as many campaigns as you want, and you still get that, you know, you still sort of get that respect from the press.
Yeah, and Eric, by the way, you chimed in on the, you know, the subject. We were talking to John Nichols about next hour. He wrote about Dale Schultz, the only Republican in Wisconsin that stood up and said, this is wrong, this voter suppression, this, you know, trying to, you know, make it harder for people to vote. And you tweeted, gerrymandering and making it harder to vote, the modern-day GOP is really a model of democracy. And well said, sir.
It's amazing that this is sort of the official part of the Republican agenda. The plank of the Republican agenda is just make it harder to vote. You know, a couple of years ago, they at least they pretended this was all about an avalanche of voter fraud, and they had to crack down, and they had to pass laws, and people needed IDs because there was this frenzy of voter fraud, and none of that has been substantiated. And if you look at the debate now, they've pretty kind of dropped the whole voter fraud charade, and now they're just going straight to the root of the agenda, which is, hey, let's make it harder to vote.
Yeah.
And with no real explanation or no real.
I mean, how else do you explain Wisconsin in particular, Eric, making their less hours before you can vote, so fewer people will vote?
Yeah,
there's no other reasonable explanation.
Right. Dave Weigel at Slate had a great headline over the weekend, and I'm paraphrasing, cursed with second highest turnout rate, Wisconsin moves to curb voting. So Republicans look at the voting, and they're like, oh, my God, what will... These people, why won't they stop voting? How can we get them to stop voting?
Yep.
So they want to clamp down. And it's obviously not just Wisconsin. It's all over.
Right.
And let's be clear, they want specific groups of people to stop voting, to making it harder, the church groups that send the bus on the weekends for the early voting and things like that. And it's just amazing that they're now, like I said, they've essentially ditched the fraud charade, and now they're just openly... passing legislation and let's make it harder to vote.
Right. And Eric, I noticed Bill Clinton said the same thing. I think Bill Maher did, and I've been saying forever, don't run against Obamacare, run on it, to Democrats. And you tweeted, oops, Kaiser Obamacare poll, 11% said it should be replaced with a Republican alternative. As you say, oops.
Right.
Go ahead, run on that wildly popular idea.
Right. And there is no Republican alternative. And Media Matters has been documenting in the last, particularly in the last week or so, as in these enrollment numbers are coming in, and as we're seeing this absolute surge in people signing up, the right-wing media is scrambling.
Yep.
Just like they said the Iraq war was going to be a sure thing win, they said Obamacare was going to be a sure thing lost. And then both of these massive public policy issues, it looks like they're going to be dead wrong. I mean, the predictions now are even the deadline for tomorrow. It's going to be 6.7, 6.9, maybe even 7 million.
Wow.
Which, in November,
the original
December,
projection.
Nobody gave a chance. In fact, the Associated Press earlier this month said the administration was going to need, quote, a miracle to reach the 6 million mark, which they did, and now they might get 7 million. So, as the data and the news comes in, back to the question about Democrats, I think it's going to be easier for Democrats to finally sort of get a spine and say, this is ours, we own it, we're going to run on it. I mean, LA Times today, this morning, just reports that 9.5 million uninsured people now have insurance because of Obamacare. It has spurred the largest expansion of health care coverage in half a century.
I would have seen that if Jim were not doing the crossword puzzle. That's probably on the front
page. It's a great piece. You've got to look at it.
My favorite tweet ever of yours, you said, my take on Bridget Kelly's attorney, when she gets immunity, Chris Christie's career is going to be dead man walking. And you said, wow, even Fox News says Christie's Bridgegate report slut shames Bridget Kelly. I mean, that seems to be the general consensus. I mean, it is so, gratuitous, ridiculous, and illogical, as we just talked to Rude Pundit about. Really? So you thought you'd put that in because that explains why she would shut down four lanes of traffic? I mean, right.
The headlines I saw even this morning, Joe Scarborough, who is, Chris Christie fan, 101, saying, I think he said it was disgusting the way that the report treated her. Look, I don't think anyone on Randy Mastro's team, those team of attorneys who put that together, thought twice about putting that gratuitous stuff in it. Chris Christie was asked about it in the press conference. He didn't seem to care at all. He just sort of completely shrugged. He didn't think there was anything wrong with the language. So there's a culture, there's a Trenton, New York City, Manhattan lawyer, Republican, cover-up culture, which is, the only woman featured in that report is the one who was slimed, the one who was humiliated in public, and the one who was made to be the scapegoat. So
yeah,
take a couple steps back, and you can sort of see how this game is played.
Well,
like
and more importantly, you know, to answer your question, your piece this week, will the press let Chris Christie clear himself?
Right.
So far, the answer seems to be no, because, you know, as you say, what Christie does now when asked about his knowledge of the Lane Scrolls thing is to stress he wasn't involved in the implementation of the plot. And as you sort of point out, this is getting a little Nixonian, isn't it?
Yeah, the question isn't whether he planned it. You know, the question is, did he know about it? Did he know his people were doing this?
What did he know, and when did he know it?
New Jersey polls was, you know, if he knew, he should resign. It wasn't if he dreamt this up one night and then told people to do it. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think the question that I asked has sort of been answered, that the press is not going to let Christie clear himself with this report, only because it was handled so incredibly badly.
Well, and also, everything that he said almost has been... Remember when he said, oh, I don't remember the last time I've seen or talked to David Wildstein. Oh,
David,
well, there's a picture of David Wildstein with him yucking it up on September 11th, on the day of the... And it seems to also corroborate his story that he told him about these slaves.
Yeah,
he knew
exactly
in real time.
Christie, in previous months, has given 3 or 4 different answers about when he found out about it. And so that part doesn't hold up. But it was really the tone-deaf approach that I think perfectly captured Christie and perfectly captured Randy Mastro, who's a longtime Giuliani aide, deputy mayor under Giuliani. And so he does this report, and he holds this press conference. And again, I have written over and over about, you know, how the press, I think, wants to like Chris Christie. Certainly the D.C. press is completely had been in love with him for 4 years. The New York, New Jersey press was a little more skeptical. But Randy Mastro, in that press conference, lost that room within about 3 minutes last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was so over the top.
And I agree with you. I don't think it's a good idea to be poking Bridget Kelly with a, well, with a stick. I mean, you know, not a literal figurative.
Yeah, right, right.
But, I mean, you know, because you're right. It's going to make her feel even chattier.
Yeah, no, David Wildstein's lawyer has been pretty public saying, well, we get immunity, we will talk and read between the lines, things are going to get difficult. After this report, Bridget Kelly's lawyer for the first time came forward and said, oh, we want immunity and she's going to talk and read between the lines, it's going to get uncomfortable for Chris Christie. But I think all of this is short term. All of this, in my opinion, all of this last week was for Sheldon Adelson. So he could put, Christie could say, we put out a report, I've been cleared. Christie could go to Las Vegas and sort of, you know, kiss the ring of a casino billionaire.
And he thinks
and
if he
said,
starts...
Oh, I had a press conference. I'm handling the critics. I've turned the page. All of this, as everything Christie has done for 4 years, is about 216.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the truth. It's not about New Jersey.
Yeah, and there he is acting
all
scrappy and plain spoken again. And I agree with you. It's not working. It's like, yeah, okay. You know,
Sheldon should say, don't kiss my ring, just kiss my ass.
There you go. All right, Eric Bowler, great stuff as always. See you next week, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, well, goodbye.
Captain Doppler.
He was on
effect.
A plane in Madison by the end of that. Okay. All right. Speaking of which, Scott's an airline captain. He's
what?
Going to talk to us about my horrific trip to Madison.
Did he fly your plane?
No,
oh.
18 minutes after the hour. We'll come back and talk to Captain Scott in a moment on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Scott in Ohio is an airline captain that wants to feel my pain about my trip to Madison. Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Captain.
I'm sorry?
I said good morning, Captain. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm between flights in Cincinnati. I heard you had trouble, and I thought maybe I could offer some insight into what happened.
Okay. Now a warning? All right, go ahead. Yes, all right, go ahead.
Now a warning?
Well, when I'm at work, they always hold the flights for me, so I don't quite see the issue that you're having. But what the issue has fallen down to is the Department of Transportation reports on-time statistics, and they're very big in the press right now. We used to hold flights at the airline I work for for people, but it would cause our customer service ratings to go down, and people would buy tickets on other airlines. So now they're pretty stringent on that.
Right, but you know, Scott, in this particular case, you had our original flight was held in L.A. to wait for connecting passengers and their luggage, and they assured everybody, don't worry, your connecting flights in Denver, no, and they'll hold the planes for you, and they didn't.
And so what it did was cause a domino effect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't work for the airline that you were flying to Denver.
United?
No, I don't work for United. I fly a lot.
How did you know I meant United?
I fly through Atlanta quite a bit, so I don't work through United.
Right.
United.
Right.
When we have an international flight comes in, sometimes they'll have between 10 and 20 people on the flight. They will hold a flight for that, and it does put the connection jeopardy on the other end.
Yeah. Well, and plus, when you're going to somewhere like Madison, that's not that easy to get to. I mean, they literally had no other way to get me there. That, you know, on this same day.
Was a biplane available? Stearman?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, well, I don't think. Go ahead.
Yeah, that happens, and unfortunately, some cities that aren't served as much like Madison, there's only one or two flights a day, and if you don't get that flight, you're pretty much out of luck is what happens.
Yeah. Sadly, I did play that card, Chris. I did say, you know, I do have a radio show, and I will be talking about this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're one of those.
I don't normally, but I was like, okay.
Did it help out?
No. They're like, you pretentious jerk, go away.
Yeah. Go uncouple yourself.
Stephanie, another reason I called in, I'm also the Democratic candidate for the United States House of Representatives in Ohio's 15th district. The primary.
What's your
going right on through to the general election.
What's your last name?
It's Wharton, Wharton, just good. Like the School of Business out at the University of Pennsylvania.
Wow, well, good luck to you.
And one of my staffers had told me you had some problems and that I should call in and see if I could offer some insight, if I could help you out with that.
Yeah.
Like I said, at work.
No, well, I mean the on time.
For me all the time.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, they hold the plane for you. See, now who's being pretentious now, Mr. Pilot? All right. Thanks, Scott. Good luck in your race.
Okay. Thank
all right.
You.
All right. There we go.
Hey, another pilot running for office.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Jim's brother-in-law is a pilot that's also running for office. All right. Yeah, I did. But it was only after the third run across the entire Denver airport with the sweating and the crying, and I blame it on the postmenopause. Okay. But I did.
And the brittle hips.
The brittle hips.
And the beard.
I was like, you know what? I haven't got to talk about this with a wreck. They're like, whatever. Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry I missed you in Madison. Sorry I missed you running across the airport. But
listen, you hoof it on over to Chicago, April 26th. Do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do that.
Do it.
But we were staffed with the fact that the Badgers are going to the Final Four.
How exciting was that? Madison went berserk on Saturday night.
Did you get down to State Street to see the crazy party?
I did not. I was at my own meet and greet.
It looks like it was parties all over Madison.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so anyhow, here's what I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you guys know this or not, the lame-ass excuse why the Republicans are doing this why they're limiting the hours.
Of voting, yeah.
Yeah, this is their case. Don't laugh. They're saying that the reason why we have to limit the hours in Milwaukee because places like Winneconne and Mercer and Sparta, little towns across Wisconsin, cannot afford to keep the polls open as long as Milwaukee. So it's not fair to have Milwaukee have longer voting hours than those little towns.
I see. They want to keep it uniform, meaning that more people vote uniformly Republican, right?
Yeah.
As they tend to do in the smaller towns as opposed to the bigger towns like Milwaukee, right?
You phone them out.
Yep. Suss that out. Thank you. All right. Yes. We need to keep it uniform, Chris. It all needs to be uniformly white and uniformly Republican voting. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of uniform we need.
I think anyone who tries to restrict people from voting should be impeached.
I think
anyone
so.
In office.
I think so, too. Why, Jim, that brings me to a guess the quote. Huh. Who said it was a Republican president, Dwight Eisenhower, who proposed legislation to make real the promise of voting rights for African Americans in the South? Among the Republicans who voted yes, not just on the final passage, but in the key subcommittee and committee stages of the process, was New York Congressman William E. Miller. Who said that?
George Wallace.
No, John Nichols, who joins us next hour. Who said... William E. Miller would go on to serve as Republican National Committee Chairman and become Barry Goldwater's vice presidential running mate. Like Goldwater, he was on the right of the party. The New York Times called Miller an acid-tongued, extremely conservative Republican. I got the acid tongue somewhere. Who said, yet the man who as a young lawyer was part of the team that prosecuted Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg had no taste for those who would divide countries along lines of race and religion. Who said that?
Paul Lynn.
No. John Nichols. This actually made me cry.
Aww.
It made me cry reading about my dad. And we will talk to John next hour about that and the horrible stuff that's going on in Wisconsin. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, handsome. Is that a 10-gallon hat, or are you just enjoying the show?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mike in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. It's a long time. I've never been able to get on through to you, but this is very important. I think everybody needs to get online here. We figured out how to get the lines down quicker at the voting booths, and if everybody would download a sample ballot on any county, just go to your search engine when time comes.
Yep.
And download that ballot. Figure out who you're going to vote for before you get down there.
Right. You know, and
everybody
Mike,
had it down before he went in there, then they don't have to stand in line because, I mean, guess what? Last time, last election, all these people were on their telephones. They could have been doing this.
You know, Mike, and I hope that it turns out like the last time. Remember in Florida, people responded, particularly, a lot of the black folks in Florida responded to this voter suppression. There was a backlash. Guess what happened? More people voted than ever.
Yep.
Because a lot of people in America don't take kindly to having their vote suppressed after they fought so hard to get it. So I hope it's like what Rachel Maddow said, that this just energizes people to get out and vote.
Hope it happens this time. This is a really important election right now.
Absolutely.
And, we had to get them down there first and then make this work because, I'm telling you, we timed it. And you can cut down each person's time in the booth by 3 minutes. Imagine that on a line on each person if everybody did it.
That's right. Help somebody get to the polls. Absolutely. In a related story, Jim, who said, during the debate about civil rights legislation, William Miller referenced lessons learned at Nuremberg and spoke to the House as one who all my life has believed fundamentally in the proposition of civil rights. Miller was a partisan Republican and an ideological conservative, but he was as well an independent thinker and a man of principle, very much like Dale Schultz. Who said that?
Hermann Göring.
No, but his poker buddy said that.
John Nichols wrote that about my father. He joins
about
us Göring, next hour.
Göring's poker buddy.
He interrogated Göring. He was not his pal.
Hey, fat boy, listen up.
All right, here's the important part, Jim, and we'll be done with this quote. We don't know for certain if Miller, who died in 1983, would agree with Schultz's assertion about the contemporary Republican Party, that it's just sad when a political party has so lost faith in its ideas that it's pouring all of its energy into election mechanics. We should be pitching as political parties our ideals for improving things in the future rather than mucking around in the mechanics and making it confrontational at the voting sites and trying to suppress the vote. We do know what the late congressman's daughter, Stephanie Miller.
Oh.
Hello.
A popular radio personality. Miller's a progressive being in Madison's very much a sexy liberal commentary. She jokes a lot, but Miller gets serious when she talks about what has become of her father's party, of which she says all they do is fearmonger and divide people. They play to people's worst instincts. I still contend to this day that Bill Miller and Barry Goldwater would just be appalled at what's happened to their party, Miller said. Who said that?
Monty Hall.
No! John Nichols about me.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. Okay. But more importantly, my dad. And God bless Dale Schultz, this Republican who's standing up in Wisconsin saying this is wrong. This is voter suppression. So good for him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of sexy liberal Madison Saturday night,
what?
Jill, the lovely Jill in Madison, whom I love. By the way, I did get lots of pictures. It's going to take me time to get them all to you to get up.
Well,
and
because you have
to get
approve
them.
Because if you're
there are some
if you're like
after
in,
my day my, after my travel day there are some woo
because
some
of
we said I was in the Denver airport so long I grew a Duck Dynasty beard I forgot my no hair removal
that's right
running terminal to terminal
breaking
beard
your hips
beard flapping in the breeze All right, so that's there are very few approved brittle hips.
Duck dynasty.
At any rate, so I'll get them to you and to Roland. We'll get them all. There are some up now, the ones I could get to you early. But Jill had some great ones, and she said she's trying to use her phone. And she didn't think, she's like, I don't think it's sending. It is, Jill, I got it. I got them. We'll get them up. Love the recap of the trip to Madison. I'll never forget Stephanie crawling on the stage. That was a show for the ages. It's a whole story. Because people in Madison, it's like family. They just yell stuff in the middle of my act, my whole thing. Somebody crawled across the stage with their ass in my face to get to their seat. I was like, what the? What is going on? Why am I not getting the respect that I'm entitled to here?
I hate you and your ass face.
It's like, the Barrymore is like everybody's living room in Madison. I met so many cool people. It was magical. Jill in Madison. It was. Sexy Liberal is magical. And it'll be even more magical with the addition of Jim and Chris in the big one, the Chicago show, Chicago Theater, April 26th.
Let's hope our flights mesh because we're leaving Saturday, right? Saturday morning?
Yeah. Well,
I'm leaving Friday afternoon.
You're Friday?
I don't do this last second thing.
Yeah,
It's not last second.
I don't deal with last second very
well.
Yeah,
I don't either. I like time to prepare.
Yeah.
But
all right, we'll leave now. Both of you go. Here.
No, but I am getting there on Friday night. So.
All right, you have the month off to get there. Good luck. I'll see you there.
All right, cool.
All right. That was cool. We had an airline captain call in about, he was saying because of the publicity of the on-time records and stuff, that's why they oftentimes, they,
it makes sense.
Yeah. However, our plane was late because we were helpers. We were waiting for those connecting passengers, and we were all fine about that.
Well, the thing is,
see, you're always a helper until it affects you. Then you're like, them.
Yeah.
Stupid Lady McLatersons.
Well, I think the big mistake was holding your original plane for the connecting flights coming in from wherever else.
Right. Yeah, there were a few people that had a few thoughts about that.
Yeah, that set into motion.
At Schmoo United Customer Service, which, by the way, in terms of servicing customers, they can kind of suck my... Okay. You don't know what I said. Because there was a... there. Okay. Then there was talk, as I said on the flight, I finally did get on, of some sort of, vaguely electrical difficulties, something, delay.
Electrical.
And you're just kind of like, I don't. All right, well.
Wings falling off.
Something. Right. Something. Electrical systems. I don't know.
Yeah, if they're afraid of the on-time record being bad for customer service, I think wings falling off the plane would be more.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was pretty certain I was going to end up in the Indian Ocean, and I was picturing the Fox, like, because you know how they investigate all the passengers and their emotional makeup, and who do you think would have been the key suspect on Fox News, right? Right?
Stephanie Miller.
Lefty
the key suspect. Key suspect, communist radio host, Stephanie Miller. Of course she made the plane take a sharp left turn because... Right? When they investigate all the passengers, when they're for emotional baggage and whatever, right?
Whatever.
Bingo. I would be the key suspect anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just saying on Fox News.
Your emotional baggage will not fit in the overhead
compartment. No, it does not fit in the overhead compartment.
They always look at the high-strung people a little bit.
Right.
A little bit more.
What? People, what are you looking at? What?
Emotionally disturbed people.
What I do? What? What?
Okay, the Malaysian transportation minister, this is obviously the... Oh, by the way, the latest, in case you just tuned in, the cluster of orange objects that had been spotted, they turned out to be fishing equipment or something.
Fishing
fishing stuff.
Like floats, something.
Travis, get Ed Schultz on the phone. What is that? What is fishing? I don't know what the fish is except for Ed.
I don't think Ed does that kind
of fishing.
He
doesn't know.
Commercial fishing
on the high seas. No.
Well, he would know what it is. What kind of fishing crap? I don't know.
Big Eddie don't play that.
He's a sportsman from the Heartland.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, this is the Malaysian transportation minister.
No matter how remote, hope against hope, please, we will continue to find survivors.
And Greg Feith, the aviation expert.
At this debris, you'd expect to see anything that's bright yellow, whether it's the emergency escape slides or the life preserver or life rafts.
Because they float. So that's what
floaty
they,
things.
That's what they mean.
And they're bright yellow.
Right. Sarah on South Shore said, Steph, she had read a piece by an experienced pilot aeronautical engineer who said what he thinks probably happened. He said it was a hot, very hot night in Malaysia when they reached their ultimate height in about 1 hour, about the time the last dispatch transmission. They would have also peaked pressure in the plane with regard to the heat of the extremely hot air from takeoff and the oxygen in the plane. Combustion could have contributed, or that combination, they say, could have contributed to combustion. The crew, this is what he said, the crew he thinks was probably killed by combustion. But again, it's like, because that's what I kept thinking, like, what happened to the passengers? Were they alive that whole time? And anyway, what he said, the sharp turn could be explained by the fact that any trained pilot knows in a time of trouble to immediately head for the nearest airport. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the pilot had not yet lost consciousness, so he was able to steer the plane toward the nearest airport, explaining the sharp turn, but he lost consciousness as the plane continued on autopilot. The people on the plane were probably overcome, he said, by fumes or smoke and died peacefully, which I guess, you know, because that's what I thought. I thought, oh my God, were they alive that whole terrifying time, like right until the ocean crash, or was it? Yeah. So anyway, but that's all the latest on the and now we do have our own time play, but that was only for my comedic story.
Right.
About
so
my
no,
trip to Madison.
No black holes. No space aliens.
No, I don't think so, Don Lemon. But thanks for asking. All right. The good news is we don't have that long until the next big earthquake out here.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the Fukushima stuff is going to hit us first, but I think the earthquake will come first.
We've been having a disconcerting number of
earthquakes. There's a huge fault that's involved in this.
The La Puente fault that was previously unknown.
Yesterday's LA Times, the front page. I was like, burr? This was the LA Times of the weekend someone sent me. Larger LA earthquake possible after the 5.1. By the way,
great.
That was Friday. I was still here. I didn't feel it because I was
drunk
and asleep.
I was asleep at, I think it hit at like 8:30
or
something.
Right, I'm like 8:30.
I was asleep.
Right, because we go to bed at
that's stupid o'clock.
Right. Okay. By the way, the Madison.
If I'm not out and about by 6 o'clock in the evening, I'm staying in. There's no way I'm getting up and going.
The 5.1 that rattled Southern California
don't
Friday
wake you
night
up before we go.
Yeah. Raises the possibility that a larger quake is on the way, according to seismologists. One at Caltech said there could be an even larger earthquake in the next few hours or the next few days.
Oh, great.
That'd be the perfect ending to my trip. I made it home. Killed by my ass. Okay. That's my bronze ass up there.
Yeah. And then apparently on Saturday there
kiss
was another
my bronze ass.
There was another aftershock that was like 4.8 or something.
Wow.
And
I didn't
start
taking pictures off the walls. And
yeah, maybe I should take my
bronze
ass.
Nailing things down. And
where should we put that?
On the floor, so it can't fall very
far.
That's
heavy. That is heavy. Here are some fun facts, Jim. L.A. in Southern California has had, and this is, I believe, over the weekend, or I don't know if this is Friday or Saturday.
Flurries?
Of course. 40 earthquakes today. I think this was Saturday. 111 earthquakes in the past 7 days, 308 earthquakes in the past month, 2,787 earthquakes in the past year.
Most of them we couldn't be felt, though.
To the big one. Feel the big one, whenever that was.
Hopefully, it's
letting
off some steam.
That was the only one I felt. The one when we were on the air.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Any of these others?
There's so few hours of the day that I am A, awake, and B, not drunk, in which I would even really be aware of anything.
They're calling it the Schauble quake.
Yeah.
What's
poor Chris Schauble?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All I know is one thing, and it must be Barack Obama's fault.
Of course.
As is the Russia, the loss of the Malaysian airliner is.
He was wearing pants, but no shirt, that guy. Riding on his horse, a Russian cowboy guy. Putin wanted France, or Crimean salt. And soon I said it was all the black guy's fault. Blame it on Barack Obama, when things don't go so well.
Yay! Rocky Mountain Mike and Mary in Ann Arbor. Why, someone is a flight attendant on Schmoo United on the phone. We'll talk
slowly
to them next.
Turn.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Clip the pull, it's up, give it up, such a dirty
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. Eric in North Carolina is a flight attendant on Schmoonited. I don't blame you, Eric. Hello, good morning, Eric.
Morning, I'm in the moves. First-time caller of the show.
Thank you, thank you.
Not here to defend United. I'm here to agree with you completely. I hate when we hold for customers. It totally screws us up as well. Always makes me miss my flight home.
Oh, when you hold the plane to wait for connecting?
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine they don't get that there's going to be a domino effect, and then, you know, because you're going to have to keep holding planes for everybody. I mean, of course they're going to have a plane load of pissed off people.
And yet they reassured you that there was going to be no problem.
Right.
And that I think that's where the problem was.
Right.
Well, you know, they teach us in training to lie and smile at the same time.
Why, of course we'll hold the plane for you.
One of your first mistakes, too, is connecting through Denver.
I know. No, I know. I
avoid that airport like the plague.
Yeah, no, it is. What is it about? I believe it's roughly 2,117 miles across.
Long, yes.
Know.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
right.
You get a good walk in.
Yeah,
well,
walk. I was running on my brittle hips, running. Here's Mama. Here's the plane. Mama, running. Mama, okay. Right, crunch, crunch, crunch. Little sparrow bones, brittle hips breaking. All right, but I got there, and we had, I don't know, Crisp. I mean, we've heard it before. Everybody said best show ever.
Okay.
I mean, oh, by the way, Maria from Chicago,
right,
who will be at the Chicago show to see all y'alls next month. She was a little sheepish, but she admitted it was her seventh.
Oh my God.
Liberal. And because you know why? They're all different. They're all, first of all, like we our newest sexy liberal, Carlos Alzraki, got a hero's welcome. He was amazing and funny, and as was John Fugel saying, as always. But
mm-hmm.
The show's always different because it's topical. It's, you know, it's local to some extent.
It's topical and timely as today's headlines.
Right. A lot of Q&A, a lot of just shouting randomly if it's Madison. Leanne was there. Steph wanted to say thanks for the show on Madison Saturday Night. Amazing. Amazeballs. My husband and I went for the VIP tickets. We were so happy we did. The meet and greet is so going above and beyond the call of duty. In particular, this one because of the day you had getting there. Thank you. Oh, no. I was the last one out of the meet and greet. They had to shove me out the door because I needed all the love and affirmation I could possibly.
You're
like, oh, you're so clingy. Get out. No one else wants to meet you. Go.
In your brittle mental state.
Somebody hold me. I worked for a Republican for 8 years. After I returned to my home state in Wisconsin in 2001, I'd never seen that many Wisconsin progressives in one place at the same time. Wasn't sure that many exist, but made me very hopeful.
Aw.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I think people are just coming to be with each other at this point. Whatever happens to the show, that's, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
Oh, the very famous Stephanie in Madison, who is there ushering for us Saturday night. Hi, Steffi.
Girl. Oh, you know what? I tell you, you take Walker, and Wisconsin will take your Quakes. I think that might be an even deal, and I think all the Sconnies will agree with me. But I really want to thank you for knighting me on Saturday. When you called me Sir, that is going to be, I'm going to be called Sir Stephanie in Madison.
Okay.
It was so great.
Let me explain. This was during the Q&A, and the lights are directly in my eyes, so I couldn't see. And I said, yes, sir. And you said, I don't have a question. I'm Stephanie in Madison. Everyone went,
I don't even remember what I said to you.
So you're Peppermint Patty now.
It was awesome, and I cried in John's arms like a baby.
Aww.
And Audrey, oh, my God, she is tall, gorgeous.
Audra?
Audra. I know.
What the hell?
What?
Yeah, that was... Beautiful lesbians there. I was in heaven.
Like, right? Hot lesbians and hot cheese. What's better than that?
Oh, my
God. Did you enjoy the fondue section?
I missed the dang cheese, but the fromage dudes were sitting right behind me.
Oh, my God.
So awesome.
Those are minor deities in Wisconsin. Steffi, thank you, honey, for helping out. And give Steve at the Barrymore a big kiss for me. We love him. He's our favorite.
Yeah, and one quick shout-out to Josh, someone that's a fan of the Stephanie Miller Show, gave me some tickets, so I was able to bring a girlfriend that's never seen any of you guys, and she laughed her ass off.
Well, we will try to. Awesome. Our next Sexy Liberal Cause will be getting her a new ass. All right, we love
yes,
you.
Exactly.
We love you. All right, thank you, aww, Stephanie. The famous Stephanie
now,
Madison.
You haven't told the cheese. How did the cheese thing go? Did you need to go
fine.
To the hospital?
No. No, it was fine. It was disgusting. I mean, I was a lot of sticking my you know, fondue cheese fingered in random people's mouths and things. It wasn't very sanitary, but it was hot. It was kissing and hot cheese and hot lesbians, Jim.
Great.
All sorry right. You missed it.
Okay.
We'll figure
damn.
Out what to do with the sausage fest in Chicago. Something. All right.
No hot lesbians in Chicago?
Yeah, no, there'll be lots of hot lesbians.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we've been talking to Eric Bowler and Rude mm-hmm. about the hilarious Chris Christie investigation, which found Chris Christie completely exonerated.
Right, right.
Here is Chris Christie now.
I haven't made a decision about 2016.
Oh, hurry.
And I don't intend to make a decision on 2016 until a year from now. But it won't have anything to do with what's happened the past 10 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
What's happened the past 10 weeks, I think, ultimately will make me a better leader.
Ah, no. You know what I think? I think it'll be a very hard decision in 2016. White House? Big House. White House? Big House. Oh, might be going to the Big House. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah,
T and then a he. All right. So John Nichols, the awesome John Nichols of the Nation, who rocked it on panel with us Saturday night with a great piece about voter suppression in Wisconsin and elsewhere as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. We love you, Madison. Go Badgers. 6 minutes after the hour. Margaret and Madison, Steph. Jolene and Louie, and I love seeing you and Carlos and Fugelsang, and Fugelsang's enormous package. We always enjoy that. Yeah, who doesn't? Wow. That is hard to miss. All right. Chris in Madison staff. I'm the guy who identified himself as the acting mayor of I don't think he actually is. He's
the mayor of acting?
Of Madison at the meet and greet. We all want you to keep coming back to where it all began. Birth of the American labor movement, Chris, and the sexy liberal
that's
movement.
That's right.
I don't care what people say about the warm-up in New York. That doesn't count. That's true. First sexy liberal comedy tour show was in Madison. I posted photos if you'd like to take a look. He was like right on the aisle, and there are lots of very good close-ups, Jim, of the hot girl-on-girl, hot cheese, lesbian right. kissing Ooh. Section of the show.
So nobody like took a cauldron of molten cheese and poured it over
no,
you. That's what
no.
I was envisioning.
No, like Flashdance, except for cheese. No.
Okay.
No. The very hot Audra and Tracy were there, and they will be at Chicago, and also. It's a big one in June. You know.
Yellow. Oh, hiya, Sandy. Yeah. Yeah, I heard today on the radio. Yeah, I'm going. You betcha I'm going. This winter has just sucked. I've just been freezing my keister off with my kitty cats. Yeah, they're depressed, too. I mean, everybody's depressed. Even the damn birds are depressed. Oop-da. Come here, Mama.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its way to the State Theater in Minneapolis, Saturday, June 7th, 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I already know what I'm going to wear.
What?
Yeah, I got a satin black tube top for the meet and growth. Yeah, you betcha I do.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Starring John Fugelsang, Carlos El Zaraki, and Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. I'm so excited to get out of the house and party with some sexy liberals. Yeah, because it's been just a crap show here in the Minnesota. I think my cats are happy, too. Oh, that's good to know, Sandy. I'll see you there. Okay, then. Yeah, yeah. Goodbye.
Click.
They're hilarious. All right.
Audra and Kate are hilarious.
Audra and Kate. I didn't mean... Did I say Tracy?
Audra
and...
Yeah.
I am...
drunk.
Right, I was in Madison. All right, speaking of awesome things in Madison, our celebrity guest on panel, John Nichols, is the awesome with the awesome cheese sauce. Good morning, John Nichols.
Good morning.
what a hot time in Madtown.
It was good. You know, I don't think you really are giving your mooks the full picture. You had a cheese boy. Just off stage.
Right.
Cheese boy?
Yes, I did.
Cheese boy.
Yes.
Usually I'm the cheese boy.
Right.
No,
yeah.
No. You got to hear this boy.
Okay.
Cheese boy with a hot plate. heating molten cheese
backstage
throughout the show.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And then at the key point, when the crowd's on its feet, kind of going nuts.
Right.
Right. It's wild. Stephanie Miller, you know, celebrity, blah, 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 has waded in among the people, trusting them to treat her well. The cheese boy wades into the crowd with this giant bowl of hot cheese.
Yes, yes, exactly. It was you know, Wisconsin style.
And he was a handsome young man.
I know. Hot, hot girl on girl with a hot cheese boy. There was something for everybody.
Yeah, this picture should not be lost to the history
book. Garçon de fromage.
And you, of course, got a hero's welcome, as you do, being the major Madison deity that you are.
I am the cheese boy extraordinaire.
So, and I have to say, as I mentioned throughout the show, if you've been listening, your piece actually made me cry. I had heard about it, and I didn't have time to read it until yesterday, but you wrote in the Capital Times, where there was a lovely picture that you posted of me and Steve from the Barrymore, celebrating another sold-out sexy liberal. But you write, Dale Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and the forgotten GOP support for voting rights. And, I mean, it was such an elegant piece, but just about where we are today with this whole voting stuff in history. And it really was an amazing piece, John.
That's very kind of you. It was, as one in practicing the journalistic arts sometimes has to do, you look for those opportunities to connect current events with things that are happening. You were coming to town. That was convenient. Because you came to town right after the state legislature and Governor Walker enacted severe limits on access to early voting. We don't have to go into the details of it. Yeah. They just made it harder to vote.
Yeah. But, and I had not heard about this Dale Schultz, the Republican, but as you write, when State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican, denounced his fellow Republicans for cutting the number of hours when Wisconsinites can vote, the attention was on his declaration that I am not willing to defend them anymore. And his explanation that GOP efforts to make voting more difficult are all predicated on some belief that there's massive fraud or irregularities, something my colleagues have been hot on the trail for 3 years and have failed miserably at demonstrating. Good for him and kind of amazing.
Guy.
Yeah.
And the key thing is that the reason I found it interesting and made one of those journalistic leaps that are so rare.
As you are. You are a limber, journalistic,
limber
leaping journalist.
Was that Dale Schultz is actually this really sharp guy. He comes from out by where my mom grew up in rural Wisconsin, the western part of the state.
Yeah.
And where Republicans are still Republicans and men are still men.
Men are men. Sheep are nervous.
And farmers are farmers. And he knows his history, so he said, so this is such an insult, it's such a disappointment, because it abandons the legacy of the 1957 Civil Rights Act. Now, nobody knows what the 1957 Civil Rights Act is. We don't teach history well anymore. But Dale Schultz remembers that in 1957, the Congress of the United States, led by Republicans, Dwight Eisenhower, and Republican leaders in the House and Senate, upended the segregationist Democrats, pushed them aside, and passed the first protection of voting rights since the Reconstruction era almost a century earlier. And the guy who was at the center of that on the floor championing voting rights, even as a very conservative Republican, was a fellow named Bill Miller.
See, this is the part where you're going to make me cry again. Yeah, I mean, I not that I obviously didn't know all this, but I mean, the way you put it was just so beautiful, because that's the dad and the man that I knew. As you say, yet the man who as a young lawyer was part of the team that prosecuted Nazi war criminals in Nuremberg had no taste for those who would divide countries along lines of race and religion. During debate about the civil rights legislation, Miller referenced lessons learned at Nuremberg and spoke to the House as one who all my life has believed fundamentally in the proposition of civil rights. And, you know, that line I remember very well, John. But, you know, and as you say, but Miller was a partisan Republican, ideological conservative, but he wasn't as well an independent thinker and a man of principle, very much like Dale Schultz. Thank you for that. And I know I'm going to send it to my whole family, and I know that they will thank you as well.
Well, they are very kind people, and I appreciate that. You should inform them that I was using them.
That's fine. Listen, and I
to make
and,
a point.
And
sure.
then you've got to plug in for Sexy Liberal Tour, so everybody's happy.
Well, in fact, you know, perhaps some members of your family will finally be proud of the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Yeah, aww. There you go. There you go.
In the best of ways. But it really is. This is a big deal, and I know that, you know, at the risk of sounding at all serious about anything.
Right.
It is really vital for people to understand the tragedy of what has happened to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
The Republican Party, founded to oppose slavery, really did hold to its principles
you know, well into the 50s and 60s. And it's important to understand that the people who are running the Republican Party now, they are the real rhinos. They are the Republicans in name only, because they have abandoned the basic premises of a political party that was about civil rights and voting rights.
Yep, yep. I mean, let me just point out this because you quote me. So let me quote me on my show while I'm talking to you about your article quoting me. You say, I still contend to this day that William Miller and Barry Goldwater would just be appalled at what's happened to their party, says Stephanie Miller. Certainly, Dale Schultz is appalled. There is nothing in the honorable heritage of the Republican Party, nothing in the great tradition of honest conservatism to justify voter suppression. Indeed, what the current leaders of the Republican Party are doing in Wisconsin and elsewhere is appallingly at odds with that heritage and tradition. This is what Dale Schultz is saying, and he is right to do so. Good for him. I mean, and again, particularly in today's, that's heresy in today's Republican Party? To point out
he's
the obvious?
Forced out. You know, he is quitting the legislature. He's leaving.
Wow.
Because the top Republican players in the state drafted a Republican state representative to run against him in the primary, and they've essentially forced him to the sidelines politically after 30 years in the legislature. And this is a guy who was the Republican leader in the state house less than a decade ago.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how far they're. And the point I'm trying to make, or the point I was trying to make, and it's, I think, a very vital one, is that until very recently, the Republican Party held to a basic set of standards. There were, it could be very conservative, but there were some places they didn't go.
Yeah.
They didn't try to make it hard for people to vote.
Well, John,
diminish the basic process.
And almost in every issue, interestingly, I heard somebody mention Barry Goldwater the other day in regards to the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court case.
Oh.
Barry Goldwater's the one that warned about religious extremists and their impact on the Republican Party. I mean, and he was very pro-choice, very pro-gay rights. I mean, you're right, there would be no place in today's Republican Party for Barry Goldwater.
Well, and it's very important to understand there'd be no place for Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And your dad, in fairness to your dad, he was a real conservative.
Yeah.
I think he would have been comfortable with Reagan. I think he was.
Yeah.
You know, the last years of his life.
Yeah.
So nobody should portray this as Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal. That's not what this is about.
Yep.
Reagan appeared in television ads in 1978 in California opposing a referendum that would have barred gays and lesbians from teaching. Can you imagine how that would play in the 2016 Republican primary?
Yeah, yeah.
If you'd stood up for gays and lesbians in television ads?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, any issue. He gave, amnesty to millions of immigrants. I mean, it's just there's no zero nukes. How about this whole thing with, all the stuff over Russia and Putin? I mean,
but we don't give people credit for that anymore.
Yeah.
the fact that Barack Obama last week. And I mean, I got plenty of criticisms of Obama if you want to hear them. But
no, I don't.
Barack Obama.
We're out of time.
Yeah. But Obama last week achieved this incredible deal where the U.S. is going to now cooperate with Japan on controlling Japan's nuclear capacity.
About
which is
time.
A very good thing. It's moving slowly toward an international regimen where we have, knowledge of and control over nuclear weaponry and nuclear capacity. And, I guarantee you, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if Ronald Reagan had done that, it would be huge global news. Well, Barack Obama did it. It barely made the front page of the paper.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Amazing stuff. John Nichols, Dale Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and the forgotten GOP support for voting rights. We have a link up to it on Stephanie Miller's show Facebook. John, I took I would have taken 7 planes to get to you. As it turned out, it only took 5. But you were worth it. You rocked it on panel, and we thank you so much for this piece and for coming to the show and all of that stuff in this great article. Thank you, honey.
I'm honored to be with you, and I just want to tell you that everybody has to take 7 planes to get to Madison.
You're not special. All right, love you, John. Talk to you soon, honey. All right, bye-bye.
Aww.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
We're going to boogie like it's 1977.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's the famous Kate of Audrey and Kate.
Of course, you called her Tracy.
Listen, I am obviously
drunk.
I've been in Madison where everyone was drunk. It's the Badgers. Go Badgers! All right, and the good news is she has found her pants, everybody. Stop looking.
God, thank God.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I am good, not as muy caliente as you are, you and Audra.
Oh, thank you. That's such a great honor, because you are muy caliente, too.
That was the worst. Yeah, go ahead.
What?
That was the worst Latino accent ever, but good, nice try.
I know.
Thank
I'm sorry.
Much.
It's like with a Minnesota twist, right? I just wanted to let you know that I don't lose my pants all the time.
Right.
It's only happened like twice before.
Audra misspoke when she said you frequently lose your pants on the way home.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. One time they were neatly folded in the freezer.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did they get in the freezer?
It was really, really hot, and apparently, I just put them in the freezer.
Can't
so.
You make the logical
wow.
leap?
You know,
of course.
The logic.
Okay.
It makes sense. It made sense to me.
I lived in Arizona where it gets really hot, and I never put my pants in the freezer.
By the way, as you know, Jim is a helper, and he has seen the pictures of you, and he has offered to help you lose your pants in Chicago.
Okay, well, I want to give Jim a big hug when I see him.
Okay.
So, and Chris, of course.
Right. All right.
Oh, my. Okay, you guys are a delight, honestly. It was really fun hanging out with you at the meet and greet.
We had so much fun. It was so great.
Thank you, buddy.
And we will see you in Chicago.
All right, see you in Chicago. Love you. Love Audra. Love you both. Oh, speaking of people in Chicago, by the way, helpers, Jim. Kevin in Chicago says, Steph, we don't shout indiscriminately in Chicago. We throw things, flying bags of vipers type of stuff.
Yeah.
I might get hit with a bag of glass, bag of vipers. But Kevin is a helper, Jim, and he says, Steph and the Mooks, Jim can come out early. I'd love to have him stay in my garage, thereby removing the need for me to check on the status of my homegrown medicinal leafy garden. I even have dogs and cats to crawl all over him like Max and Fred, so he will feel at home. I'll be pleased to remove all the bags of vipers, nuts, bolts, other assorted weapons prior to his arrival. See you April 26th. All right, Kevin, we'll see you. See ya. All right, don't forget Albuquerque in May, and then as we were saying... Big news, June 7th, yep. Minneapolis State Theater. David, you know Dave. Dave in Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah, Dave in Minneapolis.
Preacher Dave.
Yep.
He had written me a very heartwarming letter. He invited me to his big gay wedding, which I can't, because he sadly scheduled it for when Albuquerque Sexy Liberal is in May, which, whatever. Anyway, it's yet another love letter, but with some, I thought this was very sweet. Steph, I was sorry to hear that you feel like things aren't going well for you at this time. Oh, no, it's not at this time, Dave. They've never gone well.
Yeah.
I'm having a bad
life. You've never heard her say that before?
Because I make bad
decisions.
Thank you. Because I am
drunk.
Thank you. By the way, can I just tell you, when I did the Roger Hedgehog...
Cock!
Excuse me.
Sorry, what?
That Madison audience, they would not stop screaming it. They are dirty.
Cock?
Madison
or Roger
Louise.
Hedgehog.
Oh, right.
Dirty, dirty, dirty. Just because I misspeak sometimes and I meant Roger Hedgehog, there's no need to... See, in your absence, people have to correct me.
Well.
Okay. This is probably because you speak the truth loudly and publicly, which always draws attention positive and negative. No, David, it's because of my own disastrous decisions, but thank you for that. You said nothing works out for you, and I understand that feeling of futility and desperation. It could be worse. I know you aren't religious, but he's a pastor, Davis.
And he is.
This made me feel better. It could be worse. I know you aren't religious, but some of the prophets from the Hebrew Bible, a.k.a. Old Testament, probably had careers that lasted less than a day before they were stoned to death after telling a king he was an asshat. Prophets don't have it easy. That's it. I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet, Jim.
Mm.
That's why my life is hard. So I'm lucky I haven't been stoned to death by now.
Should have seen that coming.
Yeah,
if you're a prophet.
I think of you as a prophet of sorts because you call out the crazy and tell the truth even when it isn't popular to hear. Thank you, Dave. Mm. Shut up, Jim. You're sensitive and loving nature.
Sensitive?
Shut up, you bastards. I'm sensitive and loving.
Damn it.
Which makes you appealing is also what makes you vulnerable to the crazy people throw at you. I'll stop sounding like a pastor now, as I'm feeling an urge to take up an offering and don a flowing love that drapes beautifully across my manly shoulders. P.S. I am trying to decide the right outfit for the Marcus Bachman, where he's going to open the show as Marcus Bachman in Minneapolis. prison stripes that match Michelle's future clothing option, or maybe an orange jumpsuit with the butt cut out. Thoughts? I'm going to go for the second one. The assless
June
prison suit.
June is busting out all over.
Well, then the show won't be for kids now, will it?
No, it won't. Oh, because it is now.
Hey, I saw a 12-year-old at Sexy Liberal Phoenix.
Yeah, actually, I did notice there was someone, not like a toddler.
Someone brought a preschool.
But by the way, my plane story was the filthiest ever, because I was a little frustrated. And also because I can't swear on the air, and so, yeah.
I said it was super calistic,
expialidocious, awful trip to Madison. But I did get to do the toy plane. We'll see if we can post those clips, by the way, of Mama's plane story to Madison. Right? See? Here I am. Mrs. Don Lemon. Look at me. Little tiny toy plane.
I don't think there's going to be a Mrs. Don Lemon.
Not going to be a Mr. Stephanie Miller either.
Would you say that?
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I just have to spin it and put it in terms they can understand.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Good morning. Basically, what I don't understand is when Chris Christie's asked about one of the Bridgegate, you know, when he's asked the Bridgegate questions, his response was that he was surrounded by a lot of people. He wouldn't remember whether a question was asked or not. It's September 11th.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you not remember?
Yeah, he didn't
that?
Recall. He didn't recall any of those conversations. And besides,
no.
Bitches be crazy. Right? I mean, that was basically the report. It was, you know, Bridget Kelly and Don Zimmer are both crazy. I think he left me. All right. And scene. All right. Well, that's...
You.
Well, he got bored with me in mid-conversation. Right, honey? Honey? Honey?
That's almost Bullard-esque.
Yeah.
That's Jim Jobs who ignore me, isn't it, Jim?
What? Sorry? Did you say something?
Okay.
Chief Petty Officer. Look at your Chief Petty Officer
Fred's
over
Chief Petty Officer? You are. Okay. All right. So, yeah, speaking of Chris Christie, here he is. He's on his, you know, vindication tour since
right.
Chris Christie's lawyer vindicated Chris Christie in the investigation that didn't interview anyone involved in the Chris Christie thing.
Okay. How do you get better? How do you make your people better? And so for me, I think it's about me being a lot more questioning about things that are going on.
Right.
It's about sending very clear signals that certain conduct and actions are acceptable and certain are completely unacceptable.
Right. And by the way, bitches be crazy.
Yep. You know how Chicks. Hormonal they are.
Yeah, you know. All right.
He sent a very clear signal. I want some donuts.
Stop it, Jim. Yeah, they always seem to be clear about that. They always seem to be clear about having a lot of big Governor Cronut.
A platter of donuts on
right.
every conference table.
Doesn't have to say that, does
right.
he?
Okay. That's awful.
All right. Here is George Stephanopoulos and his attorney, Randy Mastro.
Randy Mastro.
Christie's taxpayer-funded attorney.
Ruh-roh. You defined this charge of conflict of interest. Your own law firm was also working for the Port Authority. Isn't that a conflict of interest on its face?
No, it isn't, George.
No.
The representation of the Port Authority, which has been cleared by the Port Authority, was something where both governor's offices agreed that my firm should represent the Port Authority. We had access to Port Authority documents as well. Let me be clear. We've had no incentive at our law firm to do anything other than to get to the truth.
Right.
We will be judged at the end of the day
right.
by whether we got it right. And George,
yes,
we believe that we got it right. We had to work even harder to get it right.
Move along, Jim. There's nothing more to see here.
Works.
The investigation is complete and the governor is completely vindicated.
Completely vindicated. Say it again. Completely vindicated.
Okay, I'm convinced.
Okay, yeah. That's sure.
Nah, yeah.
That is hilarious. That is just hilarious. WTF, really? Okay.
Even Fred's not falling for that.
So, oh, I forgot to ask John Nichols about it. The Sheldon Adelson in Vegas, but hilariously, Sheldon Adelson did not show up for Scott Walker's speech.
Huh.
And Scott Walker was, oh my God, so ridiculous in his, you know, trying to suck up to Sheldon Adelson. He was talking about how much he loves the, you know, the Jahoos.
Right.
The Jahoos, by saying he said he lights menorah candles on the governor's. And also his son is named after, it's a, something from the Hebrew Bible or whatever.
Look at the Old Testament.
What? Just, it was pathetic. Oh, and then he also tried to have military cred by saying he's commander of the National Guard in Wisconsin. So that's his.
And so that's his military experience?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. He is a Jew-loving, you know.
National
soldier.
Guard.
Right, soldier, Jew. Really. Oh, my God, you can. That's not Jim. That is Fred breathing.
Yeah.
That's like Jim's old Darth Vader bit. All right, so Paul Ryan, also from Wisconsin, also hoping to be, Eddie Munster, also hoping to be president.
Also douchey.
Premium support.
Right, right, because that went so well last time. That's why he's really up there as a front.
You know, inner city, wink, nudge, nudge.
Hello. Yeah, you know who my favorite response to his comments, by the way, that he said, you know, people from the inner city, you know, in that culture, don't really like to work. I love Barbara Lee, our great representative from out here. She's like,
oh no, you didn't.
Say what you mean, black. That's what you mean, you Duck Dynasty KKK mother. You mean black? Why don't you just say it?
No, I meant inner city.
Why? What?
Premium support.
I got premium support vouchers.
Premium support.
Hey, speaking of premium support, as Eric Bowler told us, we are almost getting to our 7 million goal in Obamacare. How's about that?
But it's a failure. It's
over
6
million by the time the extension, it could be close to 7 million.
So that's
why,
failure.
Right, why Senator John Barrasso had to say on Fox News that it means nothing.
How much does this 6 million number actually mean?
I don't think it means anything, Chris. I think they're cooking the books on this. People want to know the answers to that. They also want to know is once all this is said and done, what kind of insurance will those people actually have? Will they be able to keep the doctor? How much more is it going to cost them?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And also, it's terrible. It's going to cause rickets.
Rabies. Scabies.
Right.
The heartbreak of psoriasis.
By the way,
Jacob.
And as we said earlier, in a new poll, 11% of Americans want to replace Obamacare with a Republican alternative.
Obamacare is a Republican alternative.
Exactly. And B, there is no Republican alternative.
Right. The Republican alternative to single payer.
Right. Exactly. All right. The latest on the, what you call, oh, that's the other thing we missed, Jim. Did you see a Putin called Obama? How gay is that? Right?
It's kind of gay.
Kind of the president's Hollaback girl at this point. Just saying.
Was he drunk dialing?
Both of them have shirtless pictures floating around the internet.
What you thinking? Why so distant on Crimea? What you doing, funny face?
Penny for your thoughts. Ruble for your thoughts.
You know what? Crimea, a river.
John Kerry.
Both of us recognize the importance of finding a diplomatic solution and of simultaneously meeting the needs of the Ukrainian people, and that we agreed on tonight.
Right. Okay, and George Stephanopoulos and somebody's name who you know I cannot pronounce, who is the Russian ambassador.
Sergei Kislyak.
Okay.
Can you state unequivocally that Russian troops will not push into eastern Ukraine?
Yes.
Well, we have said so many times that we have no intent, no interest in crossing the border.
But does that mean you won't force it?
Well, we are not planning to.
We have no interest in. We're not planning to. But sometimes stuff happens.
You know, happens. We're not going to just say niet.
Niet. We're not saying niet.
Wow, that was kind of slimy. Wait, I got to hear that again in that creepy Russian accent. I'm sorry, because he's like any Russian villain in an 80s movie.
Can you state unequivocally that Russian troops will not push into eastern Ukraine? Well, we have said so many times that we have no intent,
no interest
in crossing the border.
But does that mean you won't do it?
Well, we are not planning to.
We are not planning to yet. But things change suddenly. What if meteor strikes and wipes out Crimea?
What if suddenly there is a moose and squirrel are eaten by alligators walking on hind legs with bowler hats?
A wudgabum.
What happens then? Who can say?
These things change. You could have a flying spaghetti monster land on Earth and change everything.
Boris! All right, I don't know. That was just creepy.
You're like believing in the deities, da?
Da?
Da. We did not do that in Soviet Union. We got rid of religion.
Eh, boy. Okay, looky here. Just when you think there's... I don't... not a, you know, you're like, no, we have met the dumbest, most homophobic Republican. No, we haven't. Whether racist, homophobic. GOP official in Arizona gets slammed for praising Fred Phelps and linking to an Onion's obituary about Fred Phelps. One Arizona vice mayor raised some eyebrows. He posted the link to an obituary for Fred Phelps and actually said the world would benefit from more people like Phelps. Two things. He didn't really know who Fred Phelps was, and the obituary he linked to was from The Onion.
The Onion.
Maricopa Vice Mayor Edward Farrell, he said he posted on Facebook, "We need more Fred Phelps in this world. May you rest in peace, sir." Almost immediately, the commentator asked if Farrell's words were a joke. He said, "No, I'm not kidding. This world needs to get back to the biblical standards that our God made for us. This guy was not afraid to preach it, and I respect that." And he linked to the Onion obituary that says, "Fred Phelps, man who forever stopped the march of gay rights, dead at 84. Farrell then explains that, well, he was just a Kansas-based minister. I really had no clue about him, and eventually realized that he shamed himself by linking to the satirical obituary.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
But he only recanted once he found out that Phelps and his people protested the funerals of soldiers, too.
Oh, I see.
That's that goes over the line.
If it were just the gays, then that would be fine.
Right.
Sure. All right. I think, you know what? I think people are getting ready to consciously uncouple from the Republican
Really?
Party. That's what I'm sensing. Aww. Yes. Yes. It's a tribute to Gwyneth, Rocky Mountain Mike, Marion Ann Arbor.
Gwyneth Paltrow, why don't you come to your senses? You've been just a tad pretentious for so long. You may be famous, but you ain't got that many troubles. You better consciously uncouple.
Consciously uncouple.
You better consciously uncouple now. Before it's too late.
Aww. That's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Beauty schmall.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I did. Yes, I did in Wisconsin Saturday night. Yes, I did with hot cheese. Mm. Trademark, Wisconsin. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12. We're trying to get all those pictures up today at Stephanie Miller Show Facebook and Sexy Liberal Facebook. Thank you for all the pictures, and we love you, Madison. Go Badgers. All right. And you can find you can see all those pictures and find out upcoming dates, of course, in Chicago and in Albuquerque and in Minneapolis. I'm drunk. Tea Party Ed in Detroit. Hello, Tea Party Ed.
Hey, Stephanie. The Republicans have a health care plan. They've had one for a couple of years now on the table, and it involves an individual tax credit that give to people that and families that the same tax credit they give to companies.
Tax cut. That's a new idea for Republicans.
It involves tort reform. Mm-hmm. It involves interstate competition, which is currently not on the table. The Democrats don't allow.
Right.
It has health savings accounts, which means that instead of putting money into
right because of class action lawyers are Democrats, right? So tort reform obviously is.
And do you understand the reason why Democrats don't want insurance companies to cross state lines?
Competition. They don't like competition.
No.
With their
monopoly. Democrats love competition.
Yeah, we would have been great to have a public option, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, with a public option, there's no competition. The government is in charge of the whole thing.
If it's one of the options you get.
It's one option.
Yeah, then there's still competition.
Chris will explain the Democrats don't want
Yeah, Democrats don't want insurance companies to cross state lines because then the entire country would be beholden to the state with the most lax regulations on insurance companies.
No, it would be beholden to the state that offered the best services at the best price.
No, we would be
the market.
Dude, we would be beholden to the state with the most lax regulations. And that is not good for America.
Do you think insurance companies have always behaved just flawlessly?
First of all, you didn't let me say the rest of it, but the auto industry has insurance. And yet I have to buy it. And yet the opportunity, I pick from dozens of quality insurance companies that provide decent quality that lower the price. That's called competition.
That's awesome.
It doesn't reduce.
Most companies don't do that. That's awesome, but most companies don't do that. They offer you one.
Well, I'm talking about auto insurance, and if you did the same thing with health care, you'd have the same outcomes. You'd have a lot of competition. We have competition now.
We've had competition. Yeah. How have we not had competition among health insurance companies?
Exactly. And the prices still keep going up and up and up and up and up.
Well, if you let me answer the question, you guys are always talking over me. If you go to the state exchanges, it's half of the states you only have one or two options. It's ridiculous.
Because it's the exchanges that didn't cooperate with Obamacare and the places where they did.
No,
it's working very, very well.
It's government dictating
They're all private companies. Here in California, where we actually like our health care exchange, we have a whole lot of people competing for your business in our exchange.
Why does government have to manage it in the first place? Let me ask you a question.
Because the free market is not going to put together a marketplace like this.
Because, by the way, when there was competition, they could...
They put together a marketplace.
You know what? Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah.
The reason we're having this conversation is because the insurance companies have proved themselves unworthy of it. Because they would deny people coverage because they had a pre-existing condition. So we're not going to insure you. You might get sick someday.
Yes, exactly. That's what the competition got you. Hey, you got sick, your insurance is canceled. Hey, you have a pre-existing condition, you don't get any insurance.
Yeah.
That was what competition got you before. That was, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just tired from my very long weekend. And can I just say I was not ready for a tennis ball machine full of Republican talking points.
Yeah. Link.
Tort reform and also
government.
State line tax government. Credit. Tax credit.
Communist
state
Nazis.
Line, tort reform. Okay. And Hitler.
yeah, he didn't work
also
for
Hitler.
Yeah, he was getting there. You know, well, you won't let me talk. And your show.
Now, Germany's had single payer since the 1880s.
And it's worked out very, very well for them.
Right. As I mentioned earlier, Bill Clinton said the same thing I did. I hear Bill Maher did this too. He said it's a terrible mistake for Democrats not to address Obamacare head on in the midterms. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, oh, a Democratic pollster recently said Democrats should not be defending Obamacare. Shut up, yous. That's all I want to say.
Silly fool.
Bill Clinton has a slightly different take. He said Democrats should not run away from the argument. They should embrace the controversy and confront the argument head on. He said, I thought Democrats had a tendency to shy away from things they'd done that they thought were unpopular, talk about positions that they had that were popular. And my own experience had convinced me going back to 94 that that was always a terrible mistake, that you had to turn in toward all the controversies and embrace them, even if you said you were wrong or a mistake was made. And as Jackie Schechner always says to us, no one ever said this was perfect. Right. You know, be perfect, single payer, or at least a public option.
Yep.
But that wasn't possible. So, this was a start, and we always said, let's make this better. Let's work together.
Big government, communist, Nazi, Hitler.
A public option would have been awesome. Basically, just expand Medicare for all as one of the options you can take.
There you go. There you go. Hey, speaking of, we have a Nazi theme every morning.
Yeah.
But who said, because this was Tony sends me a correction, I was stumbling over a quote, and I hardly ever do that. I usually get into a quote as carefully as I get out of.
I get out carefully.
Like a rack, I get out as carefully as we carelessly we got in.
Sure.
Whatever President Obama said. Okay. Oh, The quote is, when the Nazis came for the communists, I remained silent. I was not a communist. When they locked up the social democrats, I remained silent. I was not a social democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent. I wasn't a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out. Who said that, Jim?
Marcus Bachmann.
No! Pastor Martin Niemöller.
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 Niemöller with an O.
About the inactivity of German intellectuals following the Nazi mm-hmm. rise. Tony from Milwaukee. All right. Jennifer in Fresno. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hi.
Our darling friend Teabagger Ed.
Oh, he's precious.
I know, and Chris, you were right with the whole, you know, mm-hmm. across state lines thing.
Right.
He's also not realizing that you, based on the legislation for each state's Department of Insurance, you can't live in, say, California and decide you want to buy a plan in Texas because they have different legislation than we do.
That's right.
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you. All right. And scene, Tea Party Ed.
Yeah, but government, tyranny.
Talk over me.
Hitler.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Okay. All right. Oh, and finally, Jeff, who lives, some fun facts. Jeff, as being a resident of Denver, quite familiar with Denver Airport, which I ran across, if you were paying attention, I believe 4 times at top speed.
Yeah.
As I was trying to get a plane to Madison on Saturday.
Because you had to go around the bay.
Right, obviously. Right. You have to run around the bay. That's why it's so big.
And it's about as long as the equator.
Right. Or as Chris Christie's ass.
Yeah.
Did you take into account the air is thinner at the airport? Probably why you had to stop and catch your breath.
That's right.
Yeah. Mile-high city.
And also I was
drunk.
Right. Guessing you just had a carry-on, otherwise your luggage would be in North Carolina. Yes. Ran at top speed with my carry-on and my brittle hips.
But witness did leave your body.
Right. When you grabbed a water bottle full of wine to quench your thirst, that lack of O2 makes the relaxing effects of wine take more more quickly.
You get
that
drunker faster in Denver.
If you do sexy liberal Denver, your wine bill will be less.
One of the many benefits of being in Denver.
Yeah, exactly.
Get drunker quicker.
There you go. All right. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.